You are listening to the Pain and Performance Podcast with Dr. Derek Hines.
Hey everyone, Derek Hines here. Welcome to the podcast where I'll share with you the patterns, insights, research, and technologies that we use in my own pain and performance practice to help people improve their health, speed their healing, and increase their longevity. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy it. Good day, everyone. Today on the show, I have Dr. Jay Ashley again, and this is a recording of a Q&A that me and Dr. Jay did a while back, and we got a few questions about changing your diet and reprogramming your eating habits. I think you'll get a lot out of this. We do start the question based on someone who is trying to go vegetarian, but I think no matter who you are, if you're trying to eat healthier, this episode has some amazing tips and tricks you can start with to reprogram your thoughts around eating. So I'm going to let you jump into it. I hope you enjoy the show with Dr. Jay Ashley.
Dr. Jay, give everybody a shout.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
All right. So let's jump onto this real quick. One of the questions we got texted in was, if I was going to make the transition into kind of eating vegetarian, what would I do to at least start that process and guide that process? So tell us a little bit about what you have done, your whole system with that, and kind of let them know how you eat right now.
Okay. So we won't start with where I am right now. That may be weird to some people. One of the things that I started to do when I first set out to become a vegetarian or plant-based was I started to change my plate. I kept it simple, trying to figure out macros, exactly how many nutrients were in this piece of broccoli. It got a little bit heavy for me, even as a physical therapy student at the time. So what I did was I made sure that my plate consisted of at least 50% vegetables whenever I ate, whether it was breakfast or dinner or lunch.
Now, this was even when you were eating meat?
This is even when I was eating meat.
Okay.
If it was a sandwich, I made sure that when I made the sandwich, more than half of the contents were vegetables. Now, fruit, I was mostly doing smoothies of that type. I wasn't eating a lot of whole fruits at that time. But that was the simplest, quickest approach just to get started. It builds your palate for vegetables, builds your sensitivity to vegetables. This increase in fiber, this increase in healthy vegetables can be a bit of a shock for some of our systems. So I find that changing the way your plate looks is often the easiest way to get started.
Some of that's got to start to kind of seep in from the mental aspect, too, of like, you know, just kind of getting used to, I guess, having that full feeling from getting in the fiber, from eating a little bit differently, starting to think like, oh, okay, that is a full plate. I don't need this giant slab of steak or this giant piece of protein on there. Can I get into my head that eating a bunch of vegetables was enough?
That's the hard part. And it's bittersweet, right? Because a lot of that is emotional. It makes us feel good when we smell the grill going or steak being cooked or something roasting in the oven that we've grown up on. So getting over that hump is hard. I don't suggest that most people try it overnight, hence why I like changing the way your plate looks, slowly but surely decreasing the amount of meat that you need to feel satiated or to satisfy yourself, because the vegetables will do it. It'll be bittersweet because you'll eat a whole serving of vegetables and realize that I'm full and I didn't get my meat. And you'll be sad, but you'll get over it. The same happy feeling I used to get from steak, I now get from roasted butternut squash or mushroom steaks, believe it or not.
So, I trust you, man. I trust you. So what if you start with that and you start to kind of change what your plate's looking like, you're used to eating, you know, your meat, you're used to eating. Like, if we're doing this slowly, is step two then going kind of pescatarian, saying like, okay, let me start to pull the meats out and kind of sub in some seafoods in there? Or is that just by happenstance?
That's often a go-to for most people, especially if you're in, let's say, the South and you have access to seafood. I think it makes people feel better also about still being able to partake in some of the things we like, shrimp, fish, crawfish, and still be pushing towards being plant-based. So I actually did do that. That was the way I transitioned. Whether it's a smaller amount of seafood or a smaller amount of chicken, the goal is still to get that plate from 25% vegetation to 50% to 75% to 100%. If you do pescatarian as a segue, that's a great choice because you do get the omega-3 fatty acids that some people seem to feel like they're missing when they're making the transition. Oftentimes, the vitamins or minerals or things that you think you're missing, it's just you don't know how to build it into your vegetarian diet. You don't know where to get omega-3 fatty acids. If we've always been told that that's fish oil or that from cold water fish, we don't realize that it's in hemp seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds, some whole grains, soybeans, and of course, my favorite, walnuts. And so that ALA that we're looking for, the one that helps us produce the other omega fatty acids, you can get that from some of the things I snack on, you know, every day.
Yeah, I think that's the question I get a lot from people. I'm sure you get this more, is like, if I am going to be eating vegetarian, what supplements do I need to add in? Like, what are the things that it are going to be difficult for me to get? Not impossible, but what are the difficult things to get?
Another misconception. If we break down meat and we look at what vitamins and proteins you're getting from meat, it's just not a lot of vitamins that come with meat. Very few, only about 4 or 5, depending on the type of meat you eat. Versus the same serving or the equal serving of vegetables is going to give you a much greater palette of vitamins, nutrients, and you still can get protein from that. And so in terms of what's missing, the only argument that currently is going is vitamin B12, which can lead to, of course, vitamin B12 is responsible for nerve health, memory, and energy, just to name a few. Currently, most vegans fortify or eat fortified foods or supplements in order to take or make up that difference. We're talking about plant-based milk, soy. A lot of foods are just flat out fortified with some source of B12. B12 is often in your daily vitamin as well. How long it takes to develop a B12 deficiency can be anywhere from 5 years to 20 before it's registered on any type of testing. So there's a lot of pushback from one side of the vegan community saying we don't need it. The truth is, it used to be available just in the soil. So when you grew your own fruits and vegetables and you were not so concerned about germs and pesticides that you were using, you would get some of that in your food just naturally. Now, most people depend on getting it from animal protein or animal sources because animals actually produce it in their gut. We produce it in our gut. However, for some reason, it's produced so far down our digestive system that we excrete it and we're not able to utilize it. We're not able to absorb it.
Gotcha.
So I haven't really figured that out yet, and I hadn't tested my B12. My energy's fine, but I do supplement from time to time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Would you cycle on and off then? Like, I'm a big fan of taking almost all supplements cyclically, but would that be something you'd say, hey, I'm going to take like half the year and supplement some B vitamins in there?
100%. With B12, I take a little bit of B12 by virtue of a pre-workout that I take. So I do get it. And I take this pre-workout, honestly, one maybe every 2 weeks, once a week. It depends on how I feel and what class I'm taking. I would say cycling the B12 would be best. If you are doing a pescatarian diet, then you may get the benefit of some of that. Or if you've at least narrowed your meat intake down to, you know, 25%, you get more than enough B12 than you need, especially if you're also taking a daily vitamin or a weekly vitamin.
Yeah. I feel like most of the multivitamins, just like the regular multivitamins, are probably going to catch a lot of your B vitamin needs, at least for most people.
I haven't seen very many that are not putting B12, B6 in them.
Yes.
That's been the go-to or one of the more popular vitamins that you'll see. I haven't seen any as of late that wouldn't have those in there.
So me and you have talked about this because I'm still angry that whenever we started getting to know each other and you were starting to go through this whole thing that we didn't do a bunch of testing and get blood tests and body measurements and all kind of stuff. That eats me up. I'll probably be like, we'll be talking about that in like 10 years. Like, you know what we should have done back then. But what if you could kind of sum up for a couple of them, like the few changes that you've seen over the last couple of years of going through that process, what would be like kind of your top three highlights since you started that journey?
That's true. When we met, I was just switching over. So you hadn't seen me eat any meat except for seafood. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a great time for us to do the testing, because I had just spent, you know, 35 years at least, you know, eating meat, you know, off and on. The most I'd ever done was maybe a 60 day, or, well, when you met me, I was probably at the end of a 90 day, all vegetarian, you know, cleanse or fast or a trip. And it felt so good. I was like, I was just going to keep it going. So I took all the meat out. After that 90 days, I didn't eat any other meat. I added back seafood. The one thing that I was looking for initially was, can I keep up physically? So I trained martial arts. I trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu. At the time, I was weightlifting. I was also doing the Tough Mudder and the Spartan races. I wanted to know if I could compete at the same intensity or the same level with just vegetables. I read a small little article in one of the fitness magazines, and they interviewed Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they asked him, why don't you carry more weight in the offseason? He doesn't really bulk. He only carried maybe 20 to 30 pounds. He said, well, if it jiggles, it's fat. The fat doesn't do any work. And that hit me kind of hard, because I realized I had a little jiggle, as most of us do. And he was honest. He said, it doesn't do any work. The amount of fat that we need has its place and it does its job, but the extra, there really isn't a reason for it. So I wanted to know if I could cut my diet down to the bare minimum, would I still be able to perform at that same high level, especially without eating meat? Because I grew up thinking you needed that steak to be a man. You needed that steak to do work, to be powerful. You needed meat and you needed protein and you needed more of it.
Yep.
So that was my first quest. I found out that I had the same amount of strength, literally, in the gym. Same lifts, same endurance. I ran my first Tough Mudder as a matter of fact, I was here when I started here. My first Tough Mudder, I ran as a vegetarian. Smoked it. I finished in the top 3% of my age group. It was my first one. I'm not really a distance runner. I just like the challenge. So that went really well. I also was on a quest to decrease inflammation. I often have this post-nasal drip from time to time, what I would call the basic Louisiana allergy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if that would clear up. So I went on a quest to decrease the amount of gluten in my diet. That went really well. I can't tell you if it was all vegetarian or all gluten-free, but the combination of those two has pretty much cleared that up. I used to always blame it on sleeping under air conditioning. I would blame it on the change in the weather as to why I would get so many nasal congestion issues of that nature. So that has gotten a whole lot better.
Also, I think one of the things that a lot of people see is that, like, look, the typical American diet, we've got a lot of preservatives. We got a lot of junk in there. The one thing that I see a lot with vegetarian, if you're doing it by and large and you like to eat good foods, you're going to start getting a lot more fresh stuff. You're going to start getting a lot more live things. You're going to be stopping, you know, at fresh pickings and grabbing some good vegetables, because you start to create that sensitivity to know that fresh green beans taste way different than frozen green beans. And so just out of saying, hey, I'm eating like this, but I want to eat really good tasting food still. That doesn't go away. I still want good stuff. So how do I get that good stuff starts to kind of take you in a direction that almost makes you eat a little bit healthier. Like it almost forces you to.
Absolutely. The beauty of seeing my son walk out and pull a green bean and ask me if he can eat it. Me saying yes is wonderful. I mean, that does something for your psyche alone. But the actual taste is so much better. To see a kid, a four-year-old, want to eat a green bean out of the grass, it tells you something about that green bean. It tastes levels and levels above what you would get from the freezer or from a can.
One of the things that I talk about a lot whenever I came back from Argentina over there, like you didn't go to a grocery store and buy, you know, vegetables. You went to the guy on the corner, and when you bought vegetables, it was dirty. Like it still had the dirt on it that they just pulled it that morning or the night before. Like if you got lettuce, you had to sit there and wash it all out. And I remember whenever I came back, one of the very first things I did was eat some green beans. And I was like, something's wrong with this. This is not a green bean. And oh yeah, look, it came from a can. And it blew me away how different, like I had lost that taste for it over, you know, a year of not eating canned green beans and just eating fresh green beans. And then you eat one that has been sitting in these preservatives and canned and stuff, And your palate is like, that's not even the same thing as what I was eating before. So I don't, it's an interesting kind of sensitivity that I think your body starts to like do on purpose. Your body starts to try and tell you like, this has more nutrients. I'm going to make you want that.
And the beauty of it is I didn't have to use any pesticides. So I literally could okay him picking anything he wanted. Check it for a bug. If it didn't have a bug on it, pop it in your mouth. So that feeling you get that drives me to stop by Fresh Pickens or to spend more time in the produce section, there's a battle in your gut. There's a civil war between good bacteria and bad bacteria. The side that wins is the side that you feed the most. So when I stand in line or my brain says, hey, Fresh Pickens is right there, do you want to swoop in? I get excited. My vagus nerve literally sends a shot of endorphins to my brain because my gut is full of good bacteria that thrives on the food that I've been exposing myself to. That change is going to happen for everyone. When you ask a kid who doesn't get vegetables, does he want some vegetables on his plate? His brain doesn't know to say yes because he hasn't been exposed to good food. What he thinks is good food may be processed foods like pizzas, hot dogs, etc. But for me, because I've been doing this for this long, my brain literally craves and gets excited. You know, I get the Pavlov dog response when I think about some of the vegetables that I'm going to eat for lunch or, you know, the fresh food that I have waiting on me and what I might be able to do with it in the kitchen. The same way it used to when I ate a lot of the bad things. But since I've changed my whole biome, my whole actual chemical makeup, what's good for me now is much different than what it used to be. And that change happens. That's kind of what I was saying earlier about it being somewhat bittersweet. Because I do sit down and I see people open up a fresh pizza box and it's gooey and it's ooey, but I just don't have the love anymore. It's like I lost a girlfriend. I just don't, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. If people were coming to you and saying like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, who are the people that you're telling, look, I think this would be a good idea for, and who are the people that you're telling the opposite to that, hey, look, I'm all about you starting to get to where you're eating much more vegetables, but to go all the way vegetarian, I don't think would be the best thing for you.
So with people that are having what we would call acute and chronic red line cases of inflammation, things that are very systemic, things that have been plaguing them for years, and the only thing that's increasing is the amount of medication that, they're having to take. Those are the patients that I'm telling, you have to do this tomorrow. I really don't have time to slowly walk you backwards through, you know, the process. You need to start tomorrow. We need to figure out a way to make this palatable tomorrow. Those are the people that I'm pushing, and I'm not taking any pushback because they do. They've tried everything else and their body is in a systemic, free fall. And the only way to fix that is going to be to change the chemistry. It's going to be to change the acidity level in their body to get that inflammation down. And we know from doing this on a day-to-day basis, inflammation has become like a boogeyman term that nobody actually can put into context. But it's chemical. It's simply you have an acidic environment that is exacerbating all of these other metabolic processes, pain processes, etc. It's making you sick and more sick. It's increasing or decreasing your pain threshold so that you can't get your pain under control. None of the medications that used to work are working anymore because your body is spiraling further and further out of control. Those are the people that I push to change tomorrow.
Yeah.
For people that are not so redline, I do push more of the, can we substitute a few things each month or so? So I will take one thing from you, and I usually give you three things to replace it with. My first thing that I usually try to get people to decrease is the overall amount of animal protein on the plate and get rid of processed sugars. Those are the two things that I usually attack first.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thanks for joining the show, man. I appreciate it. Everybody, Dr. J. Ashley, wonderful, wonderful. I know that that is way more information than I can give someone about kind of making that shift over. And I think you're 100% on. especially in this area, you know, getting the processed sugar knocked down. And I'm all about getting some good organic animal protein. But I think you're eating what you're eating. You're not just doing it haphazardly. You're not just grabbing that steak because you don't know what else to grab.
Exactly. We can minimize the impact of the things we love, and we can do it. I never use the term moderation because moderation won't get you where you want. But we can minimize the impact of the things we love by doing what we have. So if you are taking care of your fruit and vegetable requirements, your daily requirements, your weekly requirements, then yes, you can entertain yourself with a little bit of the thing that you love.
They want to know your mushroom burger recipe.
I can't get that out free, but we'll work on something. I got a really good burger recipe.
Is that good? It's like behind the paywall, man.
I'm thinking I got to save this one thing, but I will give you guys one that you can work on and adapt. I can't give you mine. So the one that I show you, the picture that you're going to see, the one you're going to smell sizzling through the camera, I'm not giving you that one. I'm going to give you close to it, and I'm going to let you figure it out from there.
Beautiful. Well, where can they find this amazing, amazing recipe that you're talking about? Just follow
me. What do you think we should post it? What's going to be the easiest? Do you want me to bring it here and put it back in this group underneath this?
We'll throw a link on this chain. We'll throw a link on there. We'll probably throw it on the Acadiana Pain Facebook page so that people can find that. So y'all jump back in here, rewatch some of this stuff, and we'll throw a link in there whenever we finish up with this. So beautiful. Right. Dr.
That sounds
J,
awesome.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the help.
Thanks for listening to this show. And next week we have Dr. Amy Cavanaugh on the show. So please subscribe, share this show, get this information into your loved ones, help anybody out who needs to hear some of this information, and we will talk to you next week.